Welcome to a new edition of Culture Shifts Magazine podcast. I'm Moritz Gautlitz, founder of Culture Shifts, documenting shifts and changes in culture and corporate culture worldwide. Before introducing our guests today, I'm very happy to present you my partner, Enno Schramm, who will co-host this episode of our podcast. Hi, Enno.
Hello, Moritz.
And our guests today are Thomas Noppen and Malte Bedürftig in Berlin. Both are founders and CEO of Go Volunteer, Germany's largest volunteer community that facilitates encounters and exchange through social engagement. Besides Go Volunteer, they developed different platforms with a focus on social engagement and social entrepreneurship. Just recently, they launched their umbrella organization called Join Impact that we would like to talk about today. Hi, Malte. Hi, Thomas.
Hi. Hey Moritz. Hey, Enno.
Yeah, so in this podcast, we try to always start with a difficult question just to make things more easy for you. And our first question would be, what exactly is Join Impact?
Well, to give you an easy or a simple answer on that question is we're basically a group of people that wants to activate and bring together as many people as possible to do good for society. And we do that through a variety of social companies under the umbrella Join Impact.
That was rather a simple answer for probably also a simple question.
We could go into detail about, and I'm sure we will, but this is basically what we're trying to do. So we believe that there are many challenges and many things we're facing as a society, and we believe that that it's best to activate as many people as possible to meet these challenges. And we do several platforms. You mentioned it. We run several companies through various channels. The goal is always to somehow activate people for good. So we do platforms on volunteering. We bring people together through social entrepreneurship. We run a co-working space where people can work on projects together, start projects. We do awareness work towards anti-discrimination, anti-racism, and we run a platform where people can meet and interact through culture. This all works towards that common goal, which is also why we thought it might be a good point to put this all under one umbrella in order to make it easier for other people and sometimes even ourselves to understand what we're after.
Another way of thinking about Join Impact is actually that it is more or less the result or, so to say, the essence of everything else we have done before. So in all our ventures, in our social startups that we have created before, we have kind of found out that there's like one true belief that we see that unites everything we do. And that is actually that the individual can have a great impact and make a change for others or for society as a whole. And that is what Join Impact stands for.
So if we think about the past that Tom mentioned on your personal history, how did you come up with the idea of creating social startups, or what personal resources did you have?
I guess it's maybe a bit of an individual story for each of us. So for me, I never had the plan to create, or it was not a plan to create a startup, but somehow I saw a challenge. And for me, that was a situation in 2015 when there were like many people coming to Germany and fleeing from persecution and from war or from economic hardship. And it was actually a big societal challenge to take care of those people and help them. And on the other hand, there was also a big readiness of people who wanted to support. Still, that was not easy to coordinate. And I saw that as an opportunity where, once again, you can use like this individual drive to make a contribution, to make a change, to help others that are in a situation of need, that we can enable those people to become active, be at the right place. And I wanted to solve this challenge, and that was actually a starting point for Go Volunteer, that became like a go-to place for people who wanted to find volunteering opportunities. That actually turned into a social startup. That was kind of a process, because in the beginning it was just a loose group of people, but we were serious about what we wanted to do, and we kept being on it and turned into an organization. And later on, I met Tom and we started working together. And I think he can best tell his part of the story.
It was more or less the same situation when I started also in 2015. I think Malte and I first met in 2016 at some point. I started one of our ventures, Highmate, in 2015, and it was the same situation. It was the situation where everybody gathered to somehow find solutions. It was a situation of hardship, but it was also very, very inspiring to me. So actually what inspired me most was that there were so many people, not just the usual suspects that are always active, that always tried to help in NGOs that I knew a lot from before, but really people who had an entrepreneurial approach to solving social issues and tried to figure out how to build solutions that might last for years, that are more sustainable. And this is actually what got me into this, not with the idea of starting a company or a startup, but really trying to solve a big societal problem and combining that with entrepreneurship. So, and we started Highmate. This was about also bringing together people. Actually, we started off with, brokering donations in kind. We had that situation where people basically dumped all of their stuff in goodwill into shelters, but you know, you were never sure if somebody needed this, and we figured out a way to solve that allocation problem, basically, and by that also through donations bring people together through a voucher app, actually. And what this inspiration became is actually running into many different people that had the same sort of idea in mind, one of them Malte, and we saw that actually we're doing a lot of the same stuff, we're pursuing the same goals, and this is when we decided step by step to actually throw it all into one and work towards that as a joint undertaking, which is now called Joint Impact.
Yes. We joined our impact aspirations. So kind of makes sense.
Speaking of the umbrella organization, we already talked a bit about, now you explained where it come from, what's the name. On the basis of which values do you form your entrepreneurial partnerships under the name of Joint Impact?
Yeah, I mean, values, they play quite a big role in like building our organization, building the community around that. And we have a core set of values that, for example, include that we really believe like in equality and also freedom and freedom of thought and freedom of action. As a group of people, we also, as a team and as a community, we put a lot of emphasis on helping each other, supporting each other, helping each other learn and grow. And that includes like maybe also a value that is quite important for the success of organization, which is modesty. Because we don't assume that we always have, or that one person can always have the right solutions, but we believe in the power of diversity and different ideas. And I think that's also why Joint Impact is not one organization, but actually like a mix of different approaches, and that it's actually not limited. There can always be new ideas, and there are new ideas on a daily basis coming from our team, coming from our community. And we believe that every idea deserves a chance. And actually, only by trying, you can find good solutions also for social challenges, societal challenges.
That's a very interesting aspect. Thank you for that, Malte. And talking about modesty, there's one thing that would interest us a lot. And this is the question, what do you still have to learn in that context, or generally speaking?
I think that there are tons of things on a daily basis that we can learn. So also learning is part of our values. We don't think, as Matt said, that we have all the answers at hand, and everything we come up with will work. So it's actually very important for us to be open-minded about that every day. So if we knew how to achieve, let's say, perfect impact or solve all the problems, we'd probably be already there, or somebody else would have been there before us. But especially on the things we work on, we work with people, we work with, on societal topics. There are so many things that can change from one day to the next. I think it's hard to put a pin on one thing that we can still learn, but I'm sure that there are a lot of things ahead. So the only thing is to be open about that.
Thank you, Tom. I know you said, or you asked, what do you still have to learn? And coming from that, maybe we can go a bit to your goals. We can ask about your goals, Malte and Tom. What goals you have with the different brands, with the different entities, and also with joint impact. So speaking of income, I know it's pretty difficult to talk about that in the social entrepreneurship environment, but how have you, do you, and will you generate income in the future?
Of course, first, income is like a means to an end to achieve our goals as an organization, or as several organizations. And as we said before, what we really want to do is we want to bring people together, and we want to give them the chance to shape our society by doing something with their ideas and making their own contribution. And of course, you also need money to build the structures that you need to have in place to support that goal. I mean, for us, that has also been in development. Like, how can you finance social organization or purpose-driven startups? And of course, there are different ways. And in the beginning, we did like a lot with donations. And so we had lots of people, lots of individuals actually that believed in our mission, that helped us, that gave us money. On and on, we also had like larger public grants that helped us building like new projects and realizing like some of our ideas. But more so in the future, like we try to become more independent of grants and build like own revenue models, which is not always easy, because if you have like a social purpose and social goals, there's not always a market for that. But we discovered that there can always be innovative ways how you can generate income to make social positive change. Like one example for that is maybe like one organization under joint impact that we haven't talked about before. It's called like, it's our skin tones pencils. That's actually an idea that we came up with when we were thinking about discrimination and racism, and how this actually already has a place in education, which is kind of sad, because there's like one small fact that at least in Germany, you very often gave like to children like a pencil that is kind of pink, and you would say like, this is skin color, this skin tone. And in our opinion, that's not true. So we built like a set of skin tones, like a broader variety, and we started that as a toy, something for children, an education tool. And we're also selling that successfully now. And we have the promise that all of the money that we can make with that goes into our nonprofit projects that, on the other hand, make a contribution against discrimination and for integration of a wide variety of people of different origins in our society. So that's like one example how you can diversify and start building like social business models that reduce your dependence on public support.
Thank you, Malte. So thinking about the relevance of innovation for your organization, what have been your biggest successes in recent years?
I think one of the things Malte mentioned was a very important cornerstone to be where we are now and think about what could be next steps is that we managed to get big partners on board as a, let's say, group of entities that are both non-profit and for-profit for good. It was important to get these big partners, funding partners on board, including several European Union funds, big foundations, in order to help us not just work on single projects, but also carve out a basis for what we are now. So in Germany, probably beyond, but what we know, it's sometimes hard to actually build the organization you have in mind without running projects that go alongside that. So you're writing a project in order to get the money for that. But that doesn't mean that the organization that's supposed to run it, doing the overhead and so on, can actually exist. So, and we managed to have these partners that helped us build projects that actually go very closely with the core of what we intend to do, and also helped us build the structure. So I think that was probably, well, I would at some point I would have said that was probably the most important success, but because Malte will agree, there were good times and there were hard times. And after, I think, maybe 3 years doing this stuff, of course, sometimes you also wonder, you know, are you working on the right things? Is this going into the direction you want it to go? And I think this was one of the elements that gave a lot of power to the process and ignited sort of what came afterwards to have these partners, not just from a financial perspective, but for me personally, also seeing that there are big players out there who believe in what you do and believe in what you maybe came up with at a desk. And to me personally, that said a lot about being on the right path. That would be my probably most important success.
Maybe it sounds a bit corny, but actually what's inspiring every day, and even more on some days, it's to see all the stories of the volunteers, of the people who actually make a change, who like follow this vision that we have. And that's like an enormous inspiration to me and to us to continue doing that. Once a year, we have like a big event. It's called Volunteer Awards, where we have like a couple of people that receive an award for like exceptional achievements as volunteers. And like to hear their stories, to see what they have done, and to see like how many other people they inspired, and how this can be like, how like doing good can be really infectious, like how that can motivate other people to follow their path. That's something, sometimes I'm wondering, like, wow, it's super cool to see that by starting like such small things, like by giving a bit of structure, by like forming an organization, you can move so many people. It's great that it works on the financial side. It's great that you have like the team power together, but it always also needs this daily motivation by seeing the eyes of the people that you can inspire and that you can help.
To add to that, this is also part of what is very crucial to us in measuring sort of our impact, right? So it's not always easy. You can look at a lot of numbers, and I think we've gotten quite good at it in some regards, but often you can't really trace it down. So actually seeing what happens, seeing it in people at these awards and projects where we help immigrants, refugees, and seeing their path and knowing that we had something to do with that is actually very rewarding, but also gives us a sense in that we're working on the right things.
So to summarize it, it would be like the goals and achievements of every person that works with you is also the general achievement of Join Impact.
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, we would not say that we are the only reason for people to achieve their goals, but we can make a small contribution and maybe sometimes give people exactly what they need in a certain situation to make the next step.
You've been talking, Tom, about Germany also, that you work in Germany, that everything you do is registered in Germany, as far as I know. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Is Germany, very generally speaking, as an abstract idea, ready for Join Impact today? And also, I would be interested in how does also the government or Germany as a country helps you or impacts you?
I definitely think it's ready, even though sometimes it's hard to, because not everything is as we would like it to be. And of course, whenever you're innovating, whenever you're trying something new, then not everything is right there where you want it to be. But that doesn't mean that Germany or our society is not ready for what we do. I think that it's not just us. There are a lot of people out there, a lot of now organizations, social startups that are trying in different ways to somehow shape a better future. I could come up with a list of things that the German government or authorities could do to help us better. We luckily we received funding, and we're receiving funding from government institutions.
Yeah, if I would have like one wish, what should maybe change or like develop, then it would be the thing that also from the government side, there would be more courage and more trust in people and their ideas. Because, I mean, you also have to build like a fruitful framework for entrepreneurship to thrive. And very often, especially like in these public support schemes, I still see that it's a bit too rigid. It's a bit too planned out, like especially in the social sector, that you always have like the general attitude that you say like, okay, we support like all of the things that worked in the past. So for that, you would get money, no problem. But I would hope for a bit more risk appetite, because same as like in the for-profit sector, you cannot like encourage innovation if you're not willing to also take certain risks.
Thank you, Marta. That sounds very interesting. Thinking about risk and also thinking about the word or the idea of readiness, which we heard twice today, actually. And this is where we would like to think about the future and some utopian perspectives for your joint impact organization. So what would be interesting to know is, draw us a picture of social engagement of our next generation. What does this look like? What could this be like?
We already see like a lot of trends happening and social engagement and changes. I mean, the first like very positive trend is actually like a broadening. So there are like more people interested in contributing in different ways. And these ways of volunteering, for example, they are also changing. There are like new ways how you can get involved. So for example, digital volunteering is a thing that's getting bigger and bigger. Like, especially young people are looking for like more flexible opportunities. They are still interested in like doing local work that makes a contribution at the grassroots level. But very often it also has like a kind of an activist component, so that you, for example, also try to get a message out and try to find multipliers, for example, through social media, through activism, through digital channels. And this is super interesting, because that can really be the foundation of like a doing good movement that can, I think, enrich like what we have already with all the traditional social sector in Germany. But I think there's also a challenge that you kind of have to get these two worlds together. And that's where we also see our role. We also want to show traditional organizations, traditional projects. We want to show them like a path to the future. And we want to connect also the younger generation with like all the opportunities and different ways how you can do good in society, how you can support a social cause in very different ways.
Malte, you just mentioned also how other companies or environments can benefit from you. We would be interested in how the so-called normal profit economy can learn from you and also from your business model.
I mean, in general, we don't distinguish that much when we think about like how to build a good organization, if it's strictly non-profit or if it's for-profit with a purpose. I mean, that's more or less like our attitude, how we see it, that both are just two different ways to make positive change in society. But for us, what we can see is that it helps tremendously to have like strong values and a strong vision of change to motivate your people and also to build a community around that. So for example, we have a team of people that are like 100% convinced of what they do. So it's really inspiring. I mean, to me, it's like when every day, like when I start working, I do it with like a very positive feeling in my heart, because I know that I will meet people that are really giving their best to do something good and to find new ways to enable change. And that's something that kind of inspires you back again when you can see that something like that happens. So for sure, this is not something new, but this is something that can develop from like a strong social vision and strong values that you have as an organization. I would also say that in certain situations, the nonprofit sector, and especially like this social entrepreneurship sector, has shown that they can react pretty fast to societal challenges. So for example, when we talk about the Corona crisis, what we have seen is that immediately there was like a huge urge in people to do something, to help. If you are able to leverage that and to get that readiness to help, that readiness to take action and bring that into certain channels, then you can enable change very fast. And we did that because we created lots of help initiatives in the early days of the pandemic. And that actually that caught a lot of attention, and that helped in many areas where there were no solutions in place because we were all not prepared for that new situation.
Yeah, actually, a very specific thing that I sometimes think about is storytelling and purpose communication, because nonprofits or projects for social good, they wouldn't exist if they didn't have a very clear idea of what they're trying to change in the world. So whether they have money or not for doing it. But I think, of course, many for-profits are doing that as well. There's a lot about storytelling and the golden circle and why are we doing this out there. But especially if you look at, say, more classical companies, smaller companies maybe that work on very specific products, it shows that whenever they think more about, you know, how do we actually move people towards purpose, then they're also going to be more successful in selling whatever they do. And I think this lies at the core of nonprofits. This lies at the core of any project that tries to do more in the world than sell some products, but to solve a very specific problem, because it just looks at the broader impact of it. And I feel that even the smallest organization that's not professionalized, and it might be just a group of people, has a very clear sense of what they're trying to achieve and change in the world. And this is the main factor in attracting more people to join it.
Thank you, Tom. Coming from Culture Shifts, we are, of course, very much interested in the storytelling aspects of your organization. So what would be interesting for us to know is, have there been any major strategic plan changes in the past with respect to storytelling?
I think looking back, there is a pretty decent path that we took that never had any major pivots in what we were trying to achieve. I think the mission or the vision behind it always stayed the same. There were some changes more of on the what level, like how are we trying to achieve our goal of, say, bring people of different backgrounds together. One example is comes from Highmade, one of the two sort of founding brands of Join Impact, is when we started out with an app that was supposed to bring donations from donors to recipients. And we noticed that at some point, you know, it's nice to have this fancy app, but people didn't really use it the way we wanted. And what we figured out is actually at the core of what we do is not trying to get products or goods from A to B, but connecting people. And what we did is basically we shut down the app, which was a hard process for us, but it helped us to get back to what we actually and focus on what we actually wanted to do, which is bring together people. And there were so many tools out there on how to do that well, Facebook, WhatsApp, and it was as easy as starting WhatsApp broadcasting channels in order to really pick up momentum again and bring us back to the essence of what we're trying to do. And I think that way, sometimes you get sort of into details, you're trying to work on something you think is a good idea. And for me personally, some moments helped to get me back to our why, actually, but not the other way around. So it wouldn't be in a sense that we say, okay, this is not a problem worth or a mission worth pursuing, but more changing the way, the path we want to approach it.
I would be interested, because you've been talking about that making a change is actually quite easy. I think, Malte, you said it just before, if there is a problem. We now face one of the biggest problems in our world. It's the climate crisis. And I was just listening to a podcast the other day, and the journalist asked a scientist, why is it so hard to do a change? And as you said, Malte, the pandemic there have been solutions pretty fast. You could implement solutions and everyone was willing to change something. And now we are confronted with something where we know what we have to do, we know what we could do, but we are kind of trapped and no one really does something. Do you also offer, not maybe solutions, but do you have questions, or are you with Joint Impact also take care about the environment and the climate crisis?
Yeah, I mean, first, this is a very important topic for us, as for everyone who lives on that planet. One of our organizations is GoNature, where we deal a lot with like protecting the environment, protecting nature and biodiversity, which is, of course, interconnected with protecting our planet as a whole and averting the climate crisis. The problem that you're talking about, it's really a climate crisis. It's a difficult problem because it has this nature where you, like, from an economic perspective, you would say there's like a free rider problem. Everyone can like wait for the others to act and then hope that you can have all the benefits without doing any effort. So my opinion on that, or my opinion, like how we can get closer to a solution there, is, of course, it's collaboration on government level. That's for sure extremely important. And it's great to see that at least slowly more and more like this is happening. But the other thing is for me also to integrate like climate change and business and economics. And that means building like incentive structures where actually it's in the very interest of companies, of entrepreneurs, to find solutions to avert the climate crisis. And I would really believe that if we can harness this kind of limitless potential of ideas and people looking for innovation, then we can find a way to, yeah, basically ensure our survival and the survival of our planet.
Thank you, Marta. That sounds very positive, looking to the future. So if there's one message to society and political parties and other environments in our world, what would be this final message to the public from your side, maybe in a few sentences?
I think Malte already mentioned it a little earlier. I think that was well put. There should be more trust in people coming up with good solutions, with good ideas. It might not always be the first, but there is so much potential out there and there are so many people out there. And if you try to let them experiment with innovative approaches, then there will be something that will help us. And I think especially from our experience, and if we're addressing governments here or some institutions that might hand out project money, this is what society needs, because no government on earth can solve these problems alone. There's a certain part where they can act, but then it's about activating people, because also the environment, the planet can't be saved by just one law, by just one decision that is made somewhere in Paris. But if you get everyone behind that and get everyone active for it, and I'm pretty positive that actually there are already enough people who believe in that too, and who want to make a change, but who need the trust and the need to be enabled to actually follow up on that.
Just to add, on an individual level, of course, that also means that we want to encourage people to trust in themselves and just dare to make the first step, because no one is born an entrepreneur or a CEO or founder of an organization, but it all happens by making the first step and trying out something and just dare to do it.
Thank you so much, Malte. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for being part of this Culture Shifts Magazine podcast. We are excited about how Joint Impact will grow and what impact the organization will make or can make. Yeah, hope to be in touch.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, Moritz, and thank you, Enno.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much.
Great to be here. Bye-bye.